ask you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14.
Most of what I plan on saying this morning is directed toward Christians, but I'd like to say, first of all, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that he died on the cross, that he took all of our sin, and he bore the chastisement of God against us, so that we might be righteous before God simply because of what he did. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I ask you to find somebody here that'd be glad to talk to you. We'd like to share the gospel with you. We'd like to see somebody come to Jesus Christ because people do need the Lord. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Then if you'll turn with me to John chapter 21. John 21 and verse 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter seeing him saith, Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your watch care. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for yourself. I pray you'd bless this morning. Amen. Have your way in what's said and done. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to verse 15 very quickly. It says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's answer was, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. I read the passage in Mark because I wanted to make a contrast here. Jesus was telling his disciples that today all of you are going to be offended in me. You're going to be offended because of me. And Peter responds, he says, No, Lord, not me. Never me, Lord. And Jesus says, Yes, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times. And Peter vehemently answered and said, "No, Lord, all the way to the prison, to the death, I will not deny you." After everything was said and done, after it's all over, after Jesus has gone to the cross, after Peter's denied him three times, after Jesus has risen from the dead, this is the third time that he appears to his disciples, and he asks Peter something directly, and Peter's answer is a whole lot different. It's not vehement. It's not as bold. It's not as wild. It's not as sure. It's not as confident. He says, "Lord, you know I love you." We all know the story. We know how Peter went to the garden with Jesus. We know how he had gone through the time of the Last Supper. We know how he had been there when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. We know how he went to the garden with him and he prayed with him, and Jesus took them off apart and they prayed together, and poor Peter fell asleep with John and James, John and Andrew. And he gets up, and here comes the betrayer. And he kisses Jesus. And they've got a whole group from the high priest's office. They've got sticks, I mean, they have staves and swords. I don't know how many swords they had. Just before they left, Jesus asked them, "If you have any swords," and they said, "We've got two, Lord." It's a well-armed group there. "We've got two," and he says, "That's enough." And so they go with him. And here comes Malchus with his crew from the high priest's office. And they take after Jesus. They go to capture him. They go to bind him. They go to keep him back, take him as a prisoner back to the high priest's office. And it's funny. There's 11 disciples there that I know of. And it looks like 10 of them are sort of looking around, "Lord, what do I do now? Lord, what am I supposed to do? What's going on?" Not Peter. Peter pulls his sword out and he attacks Malchus, the leader of the group that's taking up Jesus. And he doesn't just go after him and push him away. He pulls that sword out. He's trying to cut off his head or cut his head in half. I'm not quite sure, but Malchus ducks. And he cuts off his right ear. But Peter was bold. He attacked. I mean, he went after it. He said, "This is something that needs to be done. My king is being taken prisoner. My king is being attacked. My God, the one that I call my Christ, the one that I've given my life to, everything I'm looking forward to, this is the guy who's going to establish the kingdom for the Jews. I'm not going to let him just take him. I'm going to go after and defend my king." And he pulls the sword out and he attacks. Well, everybody else is just standing around. And Jesus tells him, "Stop, Peter. Stop. Put your sword up." And he heals Malchus's ear. I don't know if Malchus's ear fell onto the ground. I don't know if it was hanging by a flap. I don't know. We've got no details. I've often wondered if it was dirty and he'd brush it off and put it on. That's comic relief. But he puts the ear back on. He surrenders to his enemies. And he walks away with them meekly. And everything changed for Peter. He was ready to go to the death with Jesus. He was ready to lay down his life. I mean, he put his life on the line. You talk about veterans. We've got veterans in here that have been from the Korean War all the way to the wars we're having right now. And they put their lives on the line. And Peter put his life on the line that night. He attacked a group with sticks and with swords and staves, he says. He says, "It doesn't matter. I'm here for my Lord. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to defend him. I'm going to get into the battle. I'm going." And he jumped into the fray. And Jesus said, "No, Peter, that's not what we're doing tonight." So Jesus goes with them and his disciples forsake him and flee. Terrible, tragic night for those disciples. They've been looking for a kingdom. They've been walking around with a king for three and a half years. They've been preaching the kingdom. They've had power given to them over unclean spirits, over diseases and over different things. And they've seen God work in lives and in people. They've seen Jesus Christ raise the dead. They've seen him talk back to the Pharisees and the priests and everybody that came to against him. They've seen him use the word of God. They've seen him have power with God. They expect a kingdom. And Peter was ready to defend the kingdom. He was ready to set the king on his throne. But Jesus surrendered. What do you think went through Peter's mind? That would have been hard. And I think it was very hard. Amen. We only know of two disciples that followed Jesus that sort of trailed behind him, John and Peter. They made it to the high priest's office, the high priest's palace. John was known, he had a kinsman or something inside the high priest's palace, and he got Peter inside, and they're trying to sort of keep an eye on things. And Peter's hurting, don't you think? He didn't know what's going on. He can't see it. Jesus had been trying to tell him, he told him that night. Yes. He'd been trying to tell him, but they couldn't see it. Just like a lot of times we don't see it. We go through life and Jesus, God is trying to do something in our life. God is trying to teach us something and we just don't see it. And they couldn't see it. And he gets inside the palace and he's standing around. And I don't know much about Peter as far as his personality. I don't know if he got along with people, if he was one of these people that just makes friends in any group and just sort of mixes in. Or if he's one of those ones like me, just a wallflower, I sort of stand on the back, on the outside and keep an eye on things. But whatever it was, he's there. And a young lady, a maid in the palace comes to him and says, "You were with Jesus." And he says, "No, I wasn't." Why? I don't know. I don't know if it was fear. I don't know why all the disciples scattered when they took Jesus. It says they forsook him and fled. And these two disciples at least followed Jesus into the palace. And all of a sudden, Peter's faced with a situation. And he doesn't know what to do. And he does the first quick reflex thing that comes to his mind. As far as I can tell, he says, "No, I didn't know him." "You mean that guy?" "I didn't know him." I don't know if it was fear. I don't know if it was confusion. I don't know what it was. But all of a sudden, he's committed to a path that's going to have problems. I don't know if he was thinking about it. He's just spent 3.5 years following and falling in love with Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, his Lord, his Christ, his King, his God, is being put on trial in a mock trial with false witnesses and false accusers, and they're out to kill him for no good reason. And he just went with them. I can imagine the anguish in his mind. A few minutes later, another maid comes by and she says, "You were also with him. You're one of those from Galilee." And he says, "No, I wasn't." And he makes an oath. He swears. And I don't know which oath he made. "I wasn't with him. I don't know him." A few minutes later, he's standing around the fire. I figure it's pretty early in the morning. He's warming himself. And somebody else says, "You were with Jesus. We can tell you were with Jesus." And all of a sudden he goes back to being a fisherman. He curses. He swears. He says, "I don't know that man." Bible said the cock crowed and Jesus turned to look at him. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I heard for Peter. But there's a lot of us in the same boat. A lot of us have been hurt at one time or another, and we didn't know what to do when we reverted to some old ways. A lot of us have been through some problems just like Peter had. We know that night he denied him three times, and I know that's a sin. I'm not going to mitigate or try and overlook his sin. It was a great sin. It was a sin of rebellion. It was a sin of denial. And he denied somebody he loved dearly. He betrayed himself. He betrayed his God. He hurt his cause. And I wonder, fear, anguish, confusion, lack of understanding what God is doing, and maybe even as he sat there after the first denial and thought about it, maybe he felt like he'd been betrayed by God. His God, his King, just went with them. He not only just went with them, he healed the high servant's ear. I don't know. But it looks to me like his anguish grew to a point where it was hurting him. And he didn't know what to do. And he denied his Lord. Story goes on that they crucified Jesus. They hung him on a tree. And he hung there and he became sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Then they put him in a grave. They sealed the grave. They rolled a stone over it. They set a watch. And 3 days later, they went back and the stone was rolled away and Jesus had risen.
Amen.
And it looks like that same day, Jesus appeared to the ladies. They went back and told the disciples that Jesus had risen. Jesus talks to them on the road to Emmaus, and they went back and told the disciples he's risen. And it looked like later that first same day, he comes back and he appears to the 10 disciples gathered in the upper room. For the first time, they saw their risen Lord. 8 days later, he appears again to them. And then I don't know if it's that same night, a couple of days later. Peter's up there and he's all bottled up and he doesn't know what to do and doesn't know how to do it. And he says, I'm going fishing. And there are 6 other disciples up there, 6 other of the people that follow Jesus, and they said, we're going with you. You got James and John, you've got Nathaniel and Thomas, and you've got 2 more that aren't named. And they go. So they immediately left. They went directly out, went right into a ship, went out onto the sea, and started fishing. And in the morning, somebody on the shore calls out to him, children, have you any meat? Did you catch anything? We got some fishermen in here. They don't know what that's like. Fish all night and not catch anything. And this guy on the shore says, hey, cast your net on the other side. They do. They're all in a little boat and they get a catch so big that they can't bring it into the boat. It's all they can do to hold on to it. You've got 7 men and they can't bring this net into the boat. It says a little bit later that there were 153 great fishes in that net. And all of a sudden John gets to think and he says, wait a minute. I've seen this before. It's the Lord. And Peter goes, what? It's the Lord. He puts his coat on and jumps in the water and he swims up to the Lord. And for a while, it's just him and Jesus. I don't know what was said. It's not recorded. I can only assume. I know if it would have been me, I think I would have taken some time to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I failed miserably. I apologize. Please forgive me. I want to make it right. And I'm sure Jesus forgave him because that's what he does. He promises if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Amen.
Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. He's the one that pardons iniquity and overlooks our transgressions and casts all of our sin behind his back. He's the great forgiver. And Peter went to him. And in my understanding and my assumption, he asked for forgiveness and he got it. There was a change in Peter. They couldn't bring that net up into the boat, but when they made it to shore and Jesus said, go bring the net up, Peter all by himself went and grabbed that net and just brought it back up onto land. He was feeling a little bit better. A burden had been lifted. My estimation. Jesus had prepared supper. There were fish and bread. And they eat. And I'm sure they fellowshipped and they talked about different things. And I don't know what all Jesus told them. Maybe he told them about the prophecies. Maybe he's trying to instruct them, trying to give them some insight into what's going on and what he's planning on doing and going forward. And after they had dined, he looks over at Peter. Says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What a question. It's a valid question for all of us on any time, any day of the week. That's a valid question for every one of us. Do you love me? And do you love me more than these? You go back to the story of what was happening on that Passover night. And even the disciples were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the lead disciple or the lead apostle or the lead ruler or whatever in the new kingdom? And Jesus had to rebuke them and call them down and try and give them a little bit better understanding. But they were comparing themselves among themselves. And Jesus asked Peter this question. Do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than Nathaniel loves me? Simon, do you love me more than John and James love me? Y'all were comparing yourselves. Have you thought about it? Do you love me more than that brother or that disciple or that person? Does it really matter, Peter? Do you love me? And all Simon could answer, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, Simon knew that he loved him. But a lot of times we get hurt because of our own stupidity and because of our own sin and because of our own lack of faith and our failure in one way or another. And we doubt our own love. We doubt our own commitment. We doubt our loyalty to Christ. Because we failed. And he says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? And once again, Peter has to say, Lord, you know I love you. And the third time, Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? It says Peter was grieved when he asked him the third time. Yeah, I think I'd be hurt. I told you. But I think Peter needed that. I think a lot of times we get caught up. And we need to be reminded that, yes, the Lord knows that we love him.
Amen.
We need to be reminded in our own selves, in our own soul, way down deep in our own heart, that yes, I do love Jesus Christ in spite of my sin, in spite of my failure, in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of everything that I've done wrong, in spite of everything that's gone wrong for me, in spite of when I couldn't see God's hand working in my life, in spite of when I just wanted to quit and lay down and die, I still love Jesus. Amen. Why? Because He saved my soul. He's done a lot more for me since then. But sometimes we forget. A lot of times we go through life and we find ourselves in a failure. We sinned. We did something we shouldn't have done. Sometimes it's because of rebellion. Sometimes it's because of stupidity. Sometimes it's just we got tired. And all of a sudden, we don't feel like we love God anymore. And all of a sudden, we realize, I'm not serving God like I used to. Maybe I don't love Him. All of a sudden, we need to be reminded that we ought to be loving Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to be serving Him. We ought to be walking with Him. I think Jesus comes sometimes and He talks to us over the ages and He says, Eddie, do you love me? In spite of the failure, in spite of the this, in spite of the other, make things right with me. Eddie, do you love me? And I say, yes, Lord, I do. You know I do. Maybe I can't prove it. Maybe I can't show it. Maybe I can't demonstrate it. Maybe I don't even feel it anymore. But I know I love you. And He says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. To me, that's one of the most fascinating things in all of this. I've got a job for you. Yes. Make your life right.
Amen.
Get things right with God. Get things right with your brother. Get things right with your sister. Feed my lambs.
Amen.
Start small. Take the lambs. I've got something for you. Won't you come back to me? And He asked him again, He said, Simon, Eddie, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. And He says, I've got something for you. Just feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Get up and do something. Get over your pity party.
Amen.
Get over your guilt trip. Get over your own inability. Trust me, get in my army, get in my crew, get in my group of apostles, come back to where I called you, get up and do something, feed my sheep. Amen. I've got a job for you, I've got a task for you, I've got a ministry for you. It may not be what you thought it was going to be. Obviously, Peter didn't get what he thought he was going to get out of the first time. And he tells them later on in the story, you're not going to get what you want, not going to get what you expect out of the rest of your life either, but I want you to serve me.
Yeah.
And he asked him the third time, Simon, do you love me? Eddie, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then Eddie, get up and do something.
Amen.
Find a place of ministry. God will give you one. Now you got to get things right. You got to make things right with God. You got to examine your heart. You're going to have to clean some things up. You're going to have to make some things right in your own life and between you and God, maybe between you and your brother, or you or your wife, or you or your husband, between whoever. But you need to make things right. You need to get things right with God. You need to seek His forgiveness, and you need to get back in His Word. You need to get back in His church, and you need to seek to serve Him.
Amen.
Why? Because He died on the cross of Calvary for you. Because He is your King. Peter was the one who declared in early on, and when Jesus asked him, who do you think I am? Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. I know who you are. Later on, they asked him, said, are you also going to go away? And he says, no, Lord, where are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. We know that. Most of us in here know that. But we let doubt and sin and failure and sometimes disappointment get in our way. You know something I know? I know that Satan will do his best to remind us of every failure that gets us down. He is going to do his best to hurt us. He is going to do his best to remind us how much we don't count for God. How much no matter what we do from now on, we're just a bum. We're not good for anything. He's going to try and make us think that. And I think that's one of the reasons he asked John, Peter that question 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He wanted Peter to understand that he knew that Peter loved him. He understood it. Peter needed to understand it. Peter needed to understand, make things right with God. And God had a place for him to serve him. God has a place for every one of us.
Amen.
We all go through times when we just want to find a corner and sit in it and quit. We all have a time when we look at our lives and say, my goodness, I have sinned so badly. I have messed up so badly. Nobody's ever going to talk to me. It's not worth even lifting my head up. How in the world am I going to go to church? How in the world am I going to hold my head up against anybody I know? How am I going to be a witness to anybody? How in the world am I going to do anything for God? But God doesn't want us to stay there. He says, make it right. Come back and give me your love. Come back and serve me. We need to love God.
Amen.
Eddie, son of Lyndall, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Sometimes I don't know it. Sometimes I can't feel it. But the Lord knows it. And I need to rekindle my love with Jesus Christ and serve him.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Laura to play number 246. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Let's stand and sing it.
Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.